Now, Saturday Night Theatre.
Will Mrs. Margaret Young of the British delegation please go to assembly in the main conference building? Mrs. Young to assembly, please.
The Geneva Run by Michael Davis.
Will Mrs. Young of the British delegation please go to assembly in the main conference building? Mrs. Young to assembly, please.
What in the name of God is that on the tannoy for?
I'm awfully sorry, Minister, but you asked me to find her and I checked everywhere else. Well, it seemed the simplest way.
But not on the blessed PA, Philip. Go and stop them.
Yes, Minister.
Oh, honestly.
Good morning, Mrs. Gibbon.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I'm very sorry. I have no comment for the press at the moment.
But we are concerned to hear that you've lost your Mrs. Young, Minister. She is the armaments expert, is she not?
I'm sorry. I do have to go into a meeting.
But Mrs. Booth, please.
Mr. Flaps,
yes, I'm sorry to trouble you, Mrs. Booth.
I wouldn't trouble the lady.
Yes, but Mrs. Booth,
thank
please.
You, sir.
St. Gibbon, sick and depressor galleries, you well. These are the last.
Yes?
David Young is here, Sir Robert.
Send him in. Come along in, David. Close the door.
Good morning, Sir Robert.
Get hold of Peter Elway, would you, please, Mrs. Treherne?
Yes, sir.
Sit down, David. Sit down.
Thank you, sir.
See the PM on telly last night?
No, sir.
Talk about video nasties. Smoke?
No, thank you, sir.
Sensible. How's Margaret?
She's fine.
Good. Enjoying life in Geneva?
Indeed, very much so.
Good, good. Delighted to hear it. In constant touch, are we?
Well, more or less, sir. We talk on the telephone most days.
When did you last speak to her?
Yesterday afternoon. She called to tell me about Annie Booth's handling of Slazenger. Something to behold, apparently.
It was indeed. Wouldn't surprise me if they take over eventually. The women. First-rate chap, Annie Booth. Not that she'd be half the man without the help of our assistant undersecretary, of course.
Thank you, Sir Robert.
Not at all. Credit where credit's due. Not fed up at all, is she? Margaret? Not ticking about this, that or the other?
Margaret? Good heavens, no. Loving every minute of it. You know Margaret.
It's just that she chose to absent herself from this morning's session, that's all. I wondered if she'd said anything to you about it.
Margaret not in this morning's meeting? Are you sure?
Absolutely. I had Philip weeping on my shoulder this morning. Mrs. Booth is not impressed. Not at all happy about going in without her.
No, of course.
I don't look so alarmed, David. Mere hiccup. Nothing whatever to worry about. All is peaceful, all is serene. Just wanted to keep you informed.
Thank you, Sir Robert.
Don't worry, David.
No, sir. I'll try and get hold of Margaret and ask her what she thinks she's up to.
Splendid idea. Give her my love. I hope she's not unwell.
Thank you, sir.
Yes?
I have Peter Oldway on line 3, Sir Robert.
Thank you, Mrs. Treherne. Put him through. Morning, Peter. Klein here. We seem to have lost one of our AUSs in Geneva. Armament specialist. That's right. Mrs. Margaret Young. Could be a problem.
Excuse me. Excuse me. Oh, could we have a little attention here? Excuse me.
Laura, why don't we try the hotel? It's probably there already.
Lost luggage is where you find lost luggage, dummy. Young man, would you please look this way? We've lost a suitcase, young man. Wave some money at him. Maybe he's corruptible.
Honey, please.
Can I help you, sir?
My husband flew in from Europe last night and lost a suitcase.
It looks a little like this one. I inadvertently swapped hand luggage with someone as I got off the airplane and ended up with the wrong suitcase.
That is not your suitcase, sir?
No, this is one I picked up in error. Mine has a blue leather handle and a tear in the outside pocket just here. Would you... mind taking a look back there and see if anyone's handed it?
The name tag says John Altwin Lassam, Impact Chemical, Cincinnati, USA.
May I take that suitcase, sir?
Oh, yes, of course.
You and your flight, sir?
5 p.m., British Airways, Geneva to London last night.
One moment, sir.
Thank you.
If you've lost me my Longines watch, I'll never forgive you, John Lassam.
I haven't lost it. It's a little bit misplaced, that's all. It'll show up. Quit worrying.
John.
I'm sorry, sir. Your suitcase has not yet been handed in. If you'll leave your name and where you can be contacted, I'll get in touch with you the moment your suitcase is available.
Lassam. John Altwin Lassam.
Yes.
We're staying at the Dorchester Hotel here in London.
Thank you, sir.
Mrs. Yarm, sir, but the receptionist at her hotel says that Mrs. Yarm asked for a taxi to take her to Geneva Airport at 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon.
Did she say where she was going?
No, sir.
As soon as you've got those costings off to the DUS, could you get hold of Geneva Airport and find out what flight Margaret was on? I'll be in with Sir Robert. Don't be afraid to interrupt me.
Brief and to the point, young man. I'm briefing Minister in less than 2 minutes.
I don't want to sound in any way alarmist, sir, but according to the receptionist at Margaret's hotel, she took a taxi to Geneva Airport at 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon.
Yes. Margaret was on the 5 p.m. flight to London. That much we already know.
I don't understand.
I had hoped the situation would resolve itself before you need be worried by it, David. The fact of the matter is, just for the moment, we've lost sight of Margaret.
You mean she's missing?
And no one has seen or heard of her since she flew to London yesterday evening. In fact, it seems you are the last person known to have spoken to her.
And what on earth can have happened to her?
I wish I knew, David. I must admit we are concerned.
Have the security services been alerted?
They have. Cheer up, young man. There's bound to be a perfectly simple explanation to it all. Margaret is probably locked in the ladies' loo at London Airport. All will be revealed in his own good time.
Yes. Yes, of course, sir. I'm sure everything will be all right.
Sorry, David. Barringer beckons. I must dash.
I have Geneva Airport on the line, Mr. Yarn.
Ah.
They say that Mrs. Yarn booked a return flight to London yesterday afternoon. She should have flown back to Geneva at 7 o'clock this morning, but she didn't claim her seat.
Ask them if she cancelled her flight or just didn't show up.
Did Mrs. Yarn cancel her reservation or did she simply not claim it? Thank you. Mrs. Yarn didn't arrive in time for this morning's flight, sir.
Thank you, Mildred. What on earth can have happened to her?
It's okay, honey. I'll get it.
Mr. Lassam?
Yes?
Who is it, honey?
What can I do for you?
Detective Sergeant Lewis, Metropolitan Division. My warrant card.
Oh.
Might I just have a word? It's about a small leather suitcase, sir.
It's been handed in to the police?
Indeed, sir.
Who is it, honey?
It's the police. They found my suitcase. Come on in, Sergeant.
Thank you, sir.
Please, have a seat.
No, thank you, sir.
So, how did you trace me here to this hotel?
We telephoned the company on the name tag, sir. They told us where to find you.
You found John's suitcase?
Yes, madam. I believe so.
And my watch? Is it there?
Oh, I wouldn't know about that, madam.
Where is the case, Sergeant?
At the police station, sir. Inspector Crabb thought it best to make sure we found the right Mr. Lassam before parting with the property.
What happens now? Shall I come and collect it?
Oh, if that would be no trouble, sir. Inspector Crabb would be most obliged.
I'll get my coat.
No, you stay here and wait for Harry Stein. He said he'd call to take me to this morning's meeting. Why don't I meet you? How long will I be, Sergeant? How far away is a police station?
Oh, just a few streets, sir. I'll bring Mr. Lassam right back, madam.
Oh, thank you, Sergeant. You're very kind.
Not at all, madam. After you, Mr. Lassam.
Thank you, Sergeant. I'll be right back, honey.
Bye, darling. Take care now.
Last night she flew to London. As yet, we've been unable to trace her movements any further.
And are we worried, Robert?
It's a legitimate problem, Minister.
What I find depressing is the fact that it was my idea to send two women to lead our team.
On my recommendation, Minister.
So much for government policy and equal opportunities. Personally, I consider the entire agenda to be about as stable as a bomb in a bucket.
We have known and worked with Mrs. Yarm for a number of years, Minister. She's extremely talented and totally reliable.
And in the meantime, how stable is Annie Booth's position without Mrs. Yarn?
Fortunately, the talks recessed today, Minister. I can't foresee any problems before we get Mrs. Booth home.
You think we should recall her? Right. Should I inform the PM's office?
Not yet. We've got the lid firmly on this one.
I hope so.
Major Cunningham's here, Minister.
Thank you. You'll stay.
If I may, Minister.
Send him in.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Major.
Come in, Major. What have you got for us?
So far all we know, Minister, is that Mrs. Yarm flew from Geneva to London at 5 o'clock yesterday afternoon, and that she booked a return flight for 7 o'clock this morning, but did not claim her seat. We have reason to believe that she left London Airport in a private hire car driven by a man. So far, we've not been able to locate the car or identify the driver.
Do sit down, Major.
Thank you, Minister.
Not a lot, is it?
Unfortunately, Minister, if someone decides to disappear, then it is very easy indeed for them to cover up their tracks. But we will find Mrs. Yarm in due course. The case is not yet 2 hours old, as far as I'm concerned.
When should we know if she's gone over the wall?
24 hours. We're looking at this possibility.
And if she'd been kidnapped? Only if it's extremely urgent, Janet.
David Yarm is here, Minister.
Is this the husband?
Yes, Minister.
Did you send for him?
No, but I assume it is important.
Send him in. Are you aware of this man, Major?
Yes, he's in equipment finance, isn't he, sir?
Hmm.
Come in, David.
Good morning, Minister. Gentlemen.
I trust this is important, David.
I've just heard from Lost Property at London Airport. They're holding a suitcase belonging to Margaret, sir. They want me to collect it.
Fine. Major,
I'll come along with you, Mr. Yarm, if that's all right.
Did they say how they came by it?
Apparently it was handed in by someone who had taken it by mistake.
Who was that?
An American businessman called John Altwyn Lassam, sir.
Right, well, report to me the moment you get back. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, sir.
We'll take my car, shall we, sir?
Oh, now, Robert, something else.
Yes, Minister?
Licenses for the manufacture of the Blackman system. Have we had further thoughts about that?
Oh, yes, Minister. Things seem to be progressing there rather well.
I see, and Sergeant Lewis tells me that you have your wife here in London with you, Mr. Lassam. I understood your company to say that you were returning from a 3 month business trip to Europe.
Ah, Laura flew in from New York this morning, Inspector. We're taking a short vacation in England before I return to the States.
Hmm. How attractive. Could you pass that over, Sergeant?
Sir.
Now, is this your suitcase, Mr. Lassam?
It is. Boy, am I glad to see it. I have a business meeting here in London this morning, and there are papers in there that I need. Thank you for getting it back to me, Inspector.
Not at all. If you'd just like to check the contents, Mr. Lassam, just to make sure everything is as you left it. Everything in order, sir?
Yes. Yes, everything's fine. Here's my wife's Swiss watch. It's a present. Boy, will she be happy to get it.
Yes, sir. You are perhaps luckier than you deserve to be, Mr. Lassam, considering that the case was unlocked.
Well, that's the way with hand luggage, isn't it, Inspector? Putting things in and out all the time?
Being a policeman, sir, I locked the lid to my lunchbox.
Well, thanks again, Inspector. I guess it's true what they say. The British police are truly wonderful.
I'll be on my way. Before you go, Mr. Lassam, would you mind telling me where you were between the hours of 6 p.m. last night and 6 a.m. this morning, sir?
I was here in London. I arrived ahead of my wife. So I drove out to Cambridge and spent the evening with some friends.
What time did you return to London, sir?
Around 8 o'clock this morning. Why is all this of any interest to you, Inspector?
I'll come to that in a minute, sir, if I may. Do you mind telling me where you spent the night?
On Jack Oppenheimer's settee at the Royal Stag Hotel. That's in Cambridge. They're over here touring, you understand. We drank a little too much vodka, and I thought it unwise to drive back to London, so I spent the night with them.
Sleeping on the settee?
And darned uncomfortable it was, too.
Oh, you won't mind if I get this story confirmed, will you, Mr. Lassam? It is quite important that we get our facts right.
Sure, go ahead. Ring the Royal Stag Hotel and ask for Jack Oppenheimer. He'll tell you what I say is true.
Would you attend to that, Sergeant Lewis?
Yes, sir.
Now, could we return to the matter of your suitcase for a moment, Mr. Lassam? Do you mind telling me how you came to lose it?
Well, what the hell is this? I came here to collect my suitcase, not to be given a third degree.
It is all very necessary, I'm afraid, sir. How did you lose your suitcase?
Okay, let's talk about my suitcase, shall we? I accidentally swapped hand luggage with someone on a flight from Geneva yesterday afternoon. I ended up at the Stag Hotel in Cambridge with a suitcase almost identical to my own, but the wrong one.
And what has become of this wrong suitcase, Mr. Lassam?
When I discovered I had the wrong case, it was late last night, too late to do anything about it. So I returned it to lost property at London Airport first thing this morning when I went out there to meet my wife. I drove there straight from Cambridge.
What time would that be, sir?
7 a.m.
Yes, Sergeant?
Mr. and Mrs. Oppenheimer booked out of the Royal Stag Hotel this morning, sir. Destination unknown.
Thank you, Sergeant.
But at least they were there, Inspector.
Well, I could have friends staying at the Hilton Grand in Hong Kong, sir. But it doesn't mean that I spent last night with them. Go out to London Airport, would you, Sergeant? Mr. Lassam says that he deposited a suitcase there this morning that looks rather like this one. Now, if it's there, bring it in, will you? We'd like to look at the contents.
Yes, sir.
You damn well don't believe me, do you?
We know precisely where you were last night, Mr. Lassam. I just hoped that I'd hear it from you, that's all.
Okay. So you tell me where I was last night.
At the Connaught Hotel in Prince Street. Less than half a mile from here.
You're out of your mind.
Ask Mr. Rodriguez to come in, would you?
Yes, sir.
Do you mind telling me what the hell you think I've done, Inspector?
Well, surely that's for you to tell me, Mr. Lassam. Ah, come in, Mr. Rodriguez. That's the way. There's no... Nobody's going to hurt you. You close the door, Constable? Now... You take a good look at this gentleman, Mr. Rodriguez, and tell me if you've ever seen him before.
I see him before.
And where was that, Mr. Rodriguez?
At the hotel where I work. I serve dinner to this man and his lady friend last night.
What? He's crazy. I've never seen this man before in my life.
But he has seen you, Mr. Lassam, which is very much more to the point. It's all right. Take him away. Thank you, Mr. Rodriguez. That'll be all.
He's a liar. Get him back! Do you mind telling me what all that was supposed to be all about?
You know, something strikes me as being very odd in all this, Mr. Lassam.
Something strikes you as being very odd. There's a hell of a lot that strikes me as being odd, Inspector. So what's worrying you?
One question springs to everyone's lips when they're reunited with their missing property. Where did you find it? Now, not once have you asked where the suitcase was found, Mr. Lassam. It's almost as though the question didn't require asking.
Okay. You tell me, where was my suitcase found?
In room 22 at the Connaught Hotel, together with the body of a young woman who was very, very dead.
How do I go about getting an attorney in this lunatic country?
You need a lawyer when you've been charged with an offence, Mr. Lassam. All that's happening at the moment is that you're helping me to identify the body of a woman found dead at the Connaught Hotel. So, let's begin again, shall we? Where were you between the hours of 6 p.m. last night and 6 a.m. this morning, Mr. Lassam?
Well, David, did you positively identify the suitcases belonging to your wife?
Oh, yes, indeed, Minister. There can be no doubt about that.
Have you opened it?
Yes, it was unlocked.
Would you open it again now, Mr. Yarn?
There's something I want you gentlemen to see that I find interesting. The case contains Mrs. Yarm's overnight things and her passport.
Precisely as one would expect.
Except that her passport is in her suitcase, which suggests that Mrs. Yarm put it there after she had passed through customs. Therefore, it is reasonable to assume that the suitcase was not simply lost on the flight from Geneva. We know that she drove away from the airport last night in a Hertz car driven by a man. We also know that her suitcase was handed in at Lost Property this morning by an American called John Altwin Lassam. The car hire company's records show the car having been collected at 5:30 last night.
By John Alton Lassam?
The very same, Sir Robert, the very same.
Have you been able to find anything out about the man? Is he in any way politically suspect?
That is being checked, sir. You can guarantee that.
But damn it, man. It was you who sent for a doctor.
I didn't. I wasn't there. I've never been in the Connaught Hotel in my life.
I have a statement from a hotel receptionist that says that at 6 o'clock this morning, a man with an American accent rang down from room 22 asking for a doctor because Mrs. Hennessy had been taken ill. Now, do you deny that you did that, Mr. Lassen?
Of course I deny it. I wasn't there. Just because some guy with an American accent came on the telephone, it doesn't mean that it was me.
Your suitcase was in room 22, Mr. Lassen.
I've explained all that. I swapped suitcases with someone on my flight from Geneva last night.
And a waiter has identified you as a man who had dinner with a woman who later died, Mr. Lassen.
He was lying. Look, bring him back in here and let me question him. I'll prove to you that he was lying.
The woman arrived at the Connaught Hotel at 6 o'clock, Mr. Lassen, and signed herself in as Mrs. Hennessy and gave a non-existent address. She took a double room and said that her husband was joining her later. At 7 o'clock, you arrived.
I didn't. At 7 o'clock, I was on my way to Cambridge.
You joined Mrs. Hennessy at 7 o'clock and had a few drinks in the bar. At 8 o'clock, you went into the dining room where Mr. Rodriguez served you dinner. After dinner, you went back to the bar and remained there until 11 p.m. when you retired to room 22. At 6 o'clock this morning, things began to go wrong for you. You rang down for a doctor. You then cut and ran. Only unlucky for you, but lucky for us, you grabbed the wrong suitcase. When you realized what you'd done, you went out to London Airport and deposited the woman's suitcase at Lost Property. And then you invented this rigmarole about going out to Cambridge as a cover to both your wife and the police.
Wouldn't it be far simpler if the woman accidentally took my suitcase and it ended up in the room where she died, Inspector?
Oh, certainly, if we ignore the fact that you had dinner with her last night and telephoned for a doctor for her from room 22 at 6 o'clock this morning.
People have been known to lie, Inspector.
Indeed they have, Mr. Lassen. Indeed they have.
Yes. Yes, Constable, what is it?
We managed to catch up with Mr. and Mrs. Oppenheimer in Bath, Inspector. The last time they saw Mr. Lassen was in New York 6 months ago.
Thank you, Constable.
Sir.
Point taken, Mr. Lassen. Now then, let's try again, shall we? Where were you between the hours of 6 p.m. last night and 6 a.m. this morning?
Defense Minister André Chiffrin later in the chamber today. This afternoon, Mrs. Anne Booth, Minister of Defense, will be opening the debate on surface-to-air missiles, a crucial subject for Britain.
That was our defense correspondent, James Lopen, at the Geneva talks.
Who is it? Now the middle... Just hold on.
New American initiative...
John? Is that you? John?
It's me, Harry.
Hiya, gorgeous.
Oh, hi, Harry. Come on in.
Oh. Is that the way to greet an old friend? Hey, what's the matter? Have you two been fighting again? Where is he? I'll soon fix that big dope.
No, John's not here.
What?
Just a minute.
You're kidding me, right? Where is he? We have a meeting with some very important people this morning.
No, he's at the police station.
The police station? You mean he's been arrested?
Oh, God knows. He might have been. He's been gone long enough.
He lost his suitcase on the flight from Geneva, and he went back to the police station to collect it, and he hasn't come back yet.
How long has he been gone?
Oh, a couple of hours, maybe.
You think maybe he was smuggling something and they found it?
Could be. He's stupid enough. Oh, John is just a walking disaster, Harriet. I really should have known better.
I'll get it. Well, well, well. Look who's here, complete with suitcase.
John, darling, are you all right?
I'm fine. Take it easy. I'll be fine.
Where have you been? I've been far out of my mind. Oh, you look awful. What have they been doing to you?
I'll fix you a drink.
Oh, thanks, Harry. Very large and very undiluted.
Darling, what happened?
Well, for a while there, it looked as though they were putting me on a murder charge.
On a what?
A murder charge?
No kidding. Some lady calling herself Hennessy turned up dead at a hotel hereabouts, clutching my missing suitcase, would you believe? Then some Spanish waiter identified me as a guy who had dinner with her last night, which is crazy. And I could feel the rope tightening around my neck. And then it happened. Don't let anyone tell you that there is no such thing as a miracle, because one happened to me right there in that police station.
But what happened? What happened?
A policewoman slid an autopsy report under my inquisitor's nose. I've never seen a man so disappointed. There were tears in his eyes, I swear it.
Here, John.
Thanks.
So, what did the autopsy report say?
My supposed erstwhile girlfriend died of natural causes. She had a heart attack, God rest her soul. No crime had been committed, and I was free to go. Oh, you know something, Harry? If you work at it, you could become real good pouring drinks like that. Why don't you try it again?
It's all in the wrist. What happened about the police? Did you manage to convince them that you weren't at the scene of the no crime?
Yeah, just the opposite, unfortunately. I did a dumb thing. Before I knew what the hell it was all about, I said I was with Jack and Mamie Oppenheimer last night. And it took him less than 2 minutes to prove that I wasn't. Ah, the heck with it. Who cares? No crime has been committed, so what does it matter? Thanks, Harry. Cheers.
Salute.
If you weren't with the Oppenheimers, where were you last night?
Well, I drove out to Cambridge to give Sergei Koryenkov a letter I was bringing in for him.
What?
Then I realized that it was in my missing suitcase. Now, I couldn't very well tell the police that, could I?
You mean you were still smuggling letters for that crazy Russian? You told me you'd finish with all that.
Okay. I've learned my lesson, I'm sorry.
Oh, you lied to me, John. No. Why not tell the truth, for Christ's sake?
Yes, I just didn't want you to know about Koryenkov's letter. It was the last one. It seems so unfair.
John, Laura, please.
Now, look. What about this Koryenkov letter? Was it in your suitcase? If it was, didn't the police want to question you about it?
I couldn't believe my luck. When he asked me to check the contents of my suitcase, there it was, staring him in the face. An unstamped letter addressed to an exiled dissident, and he just ignored it. He was so damn busy trying to involve me with his corpse that it simply didn't register, and praise me for that, say I.
John, you destroy that letter. It's bad news.
Oh, but Laura...
You destroy it, John?
It's a man's only contact with his family.
John, you just...
Okay. It's all over and no bones broken. There.
Have they managed to identify the dead woman yet?
Not yet.
But they still think that you're involved in some way, that you were with her when she died.
Something like that, I guess. And what the hell? It seemed the lesser of two evils. I didn't want to blow the lid on Koryenkov. Whatever you say, the guy's got enough troubles. Hell, no one's been murdered.
God help you, John, if the company gets down with this. You'll have TG on the telephone blasting you from the face of the earth. But what about the police? They're not going to give up that easily. Oh, you're such a bad lot.
Honey.
Listen to me, John. You go with Harry to your meeting this morning, and then we're catching the very next flight home before the lid comes off this thing.
Yeah, you're right, Laura. Okay, pack our bags. We're leaving.
Oh,
postman? What the devil do you mean, Cunningham? A man's a postman.
The term means precisely what it says, Minister. Someone who delivers letters, only in this instance the letters referred to are smuggled in and out of the country on behalf of dissidents of one persuasion or another.
And this American Lassam is such a person?
According to the CIA, he has sporadically acted as postman for the defector Sergei Koryenkov for the past 3 years. No other political involvement is known.
Koryenkov? He's at Cambridge, isn't he? Are we happy with this situation?
It's fairly low-key, Minister. Hardly subversive. We keep abreast of these things.
And Mrs. Yarm's connection with this man, what of that?
All we know is that Mrs. Yarm left London Airport last night in a hired car driven by Lassam. The true significance of that is unknown to us.
Yes?
Inspector Crabb of the Metropolitan CID is outside, sir. He wishes to speak to Major Cunningham. I believe it's important.
Sir?
Well, that's fine for the moment, Major. I must get back to the firing line. Inspector, do go in.
Thank you, sir.
Good morning, Major Cunningham.
Crabb?
I've been trying to find you, sir.
Yes, well, I am quite busy, Inspector.
Yes, yes, of course, sir. But you see, I've recently had sight of a letter addressed to one Sergei Koryenkov. I gather you're his case officer, sir. I've had the letter copied. Here.
Where's the original?
Well, it's in the possession of the man I've been questioning. He doesn't know that we've opened the letter. The man's name's Lassam.
Lassam?
Yes, he's an American. I was interviewing him in connection with the discovery of a woman found dead this morning at the Connaught Hotel.
Where's the body now?
Division A Mortuary.
Right. I'll meet you there in 15 minutes, Inspector. This letter needs investigation, but first there's someone I'll have to pick up.
15 minutes, Inspector. Right, sir.
I'm sorry to have to subject you to this ordeal, Mr. Young. I hope for your sake we were wrong. But you do understand, sir, that the only way we can be absolutely sure is by having a positive identification.
I understand, Inspector.
Here we are. Well, this won't take a moment, sir. Morning, Charlie.
Morning, Inspector.
Through here, David.
Possible identification of the body brought in from the Connaught this morning. Registration number 354.
Roger, sir.
Bear up, David. It'll be over in a moment.
I'm all right, thank you, Major Cunningham.
The woman hasn't been bashed about at all, sir. No, nothing to worry about in high school. Thank you, Charlie. Can you identify the body of this woman, Mr. Young?
Yes, Inspector. It's Margaret.
Thank you, sir. May I say how sorry I am?
Well, Major, my problem seems to be solved, and yours is about to begin. Is that it, sir?
Not quite, Inspector. I think I may have some more work for you.
Bye, Harry. Thanks for everything.
I'm sorry you can't stay, Laura, dear, but I'm sure John's doing the right thing. Bye, John. Give me a ring when you get back home this evening, okay? Bye, Harry. Look, do me a favor, will you? Sure. Keep your eye on the newspaper. See if you can find out who the Hennessy woman was.
Let's hope you're not front page news.
Yeah. I'll ring you tonight. Thanks for everything.
Bye, Harry. Why don't you come over and holiday with us instead?
I might just do that. Hurry now. You'll miss your flight.
Mr. Lassam, sir.
Oh, my God. Not you again.
Sorry to trouble you, sir. But Inspector Crabb would like to clear up one or two points with you before you leave. Sorry about this, madam.
Sorry, Sergeant. Tell Inspector Crabb some other time, okay? Our flight is leaving this very minute.
I'm sorry, Mr. Lassam. I'm afraid I must insist.
Say, what the hell is this?
Take it easy, John. Might I suggest a later flight, sir? I'm sure Inspector Crabb won't keep you long. If you'd come with me, sir.
Okay, let's spell it out, shall we? Do I have a choice in this, Sergeant?
Not really, sir. No, I have the power to detain you if necessary.
Better do as the man says, John.
Okay, okay. But when this guy Crabb eventually gets off my back, I shall sue for harassment, deprivation of liberty, a ruined holiday, and anything else my lawyers can come up with. Laura, honey, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. You go with the sergeant. Harry will take me back to the hotel.
Thanks, Harry.
Sorry about this, madam. We'll try not to keep Mr. Lassen too long. This way, sir.
Here, I'll see you back at the hotel. Stay with Laura till I get there, Harry.
Okay.
God, Harry, now what?
Well, it... At least he's no longer carrying that Koryenkov letter.
He's a loser. A born loser.
David, you poor, poor boy. I can't begin to tell you how sorry I am.
Thank you, Sir Robert.
I simply can't believe it. How awful. Unbelievably awful. Poor girl. Poor child. Did the police give any possible reason for Margaret's presence here in London?
No. It's quite obvious she flew home to meet someone, but if they know who that someone was, then they're not prepared to say.
I'm concerned that the name of John Alton Lassam keeps cropping up. Not the sort of person one would want to be seen abroad with.
I'm sure that there is no possible link with either Lassam or Koryenkov, sir. Margaret was the most politically stable person in the entire department. I'm determined to discover who it was she flew home to meet, if only to clear her name politically. I intend to apply for a month's leave of absence to do some inquiring of my own. With your permission, of course.
Is that wise, David? If you go blundering about in an unofficial and amateurish way, then heaven only knows how many sets of sensitive toes you might tread upon. There's nothing you can do to help Margaret, but you might do yourself irreparable harm. You have your career to think of. You take my advice. You leave matters in the hands of the experts and stay well out of it.
It's hard enough for me to accept the fact that Margaret was being unfaithful to me, Sir Robert, without having her name dragged through the political mud as well. I shall find out who it was she flew to London to meet and put an end to the matter once and for all.
David, there might be some totally innocent explanation to all this. It simply hasn't occurred to us. You will not be thanked for upsetting whatever inquiry Major Cunningham has in hand. Listen to me and leave well alone. If Margaret's name needs to be cleared, then Major Cunningham is the man to do it, not you. He'll get to the bottom of it. All right?
Good afternoon, Mr. Koryenkov. They told me at the college where I might find you. Unfortunately, when they said Latham's Wood was just off the main road, they didn't mention it was through a field of mud.
Nasty weather. Major Cunningham, a special branch, sir.
We've met before.
When you first arrived in Britain.
I remember.
You're happy in the Fen country, Mr. Koryenkov?
Yes. I find the reeds and grasses familiar and comfortable, Major Cunningham.
Yes. Deceptive, isn't it?
Deceptive.
In the grass beneath our feet, wars rage. Ant eats grub, grub eats maggot, flesh putrefies. All concealed from human gaze by serenity and beauty. Everything is bearable at a distance, Mr. Koryenkov.
What we cannot see cannot disturb us.
Exactly. Unhappily for me, I have to put human behavior under a kind of microscope in order to understand this happening or that event. I constantly turn over stones that for comfort's sake would have been better left undisturbed.
You are about to turn over a stone which will disturb me?
I'm afraid that might be so. Do you know a man called John Alton Lassam, Mr. Koryenkov?
I imagine you know I do.
Quite so. Your position in this country is very delicately balanced, Mr. Koryenkov. You are sufficiently at odds with your own lords and masters to remove yourself from their presence. But I have lords and masters here also, albeit of a more benign and tolerant nature. But lords and masters, they must remain. And no matter on which side of the wall your caravan has rested, the rules have to be obeyed.
Indeed so.
But there are those who would use you for their own ends, sir.
The American, John Altwyn Lassam, has been a good friend to me, Major Cunningham, as I'm sure you know. He's a warm, emotional liberal, without reward or favor, and at considerable risk to himself. He has helped me. Without such men, all contact with my family would be lost.
Indeed it would be, Mr. Koryankov. We would not wish to deprive you of that.
Then why are you here, Major Cunningham?
An assistant and a secretary working at the Ministry of Defense has gone bad on us, or so we believe. She was found dead this morning under very odd circumstances. The woman was an acquaintance of John Altwyn Lassam, which involves you, sir, I'm afraid.
In which way does it involve me?
Mr. Lassam arrived from Eastern Europe via Geneva yesterday. He was carrying a letter addressed to you. The letter was intercepted, not by me. On the face of it, you might have thought it innocent enough, but I'm afraid there was certain coded information contained inside. And my bosses might think we've been too lenient with you, Mr. Koryankov.
You mean John Lassam and I have been used?
It could appear so, sir. I'm afraid you're going to have to find yourself alternative means of communication, Mr. Koryankov. I'm sorry.
Are you going to arrest me?
No, sir. We're assuming both you and Mr. Lassam are only innocently involved in this. But I think you'd better tell me all you know about John Altwyn Lassam, even so.
You shared a seat with Mrs. Yarm on your flight from Geneva last night. You collected a hire car at London Airport and drove Mrs. Yarm to a hotel in Prim Street.
I did no such thing. I dropped her in the West End before parking the car and checking into the Dorchester Hotel.
Yes, you dropped Mrs. Yarm at the Connaught Hotel and arrived back there at 7 o'clock.
I didn't. At 7 o'clock, I was on my way out to Cambridge to see...
To see the Oppenheimers, Mr. Lassam?
I refuse to answer any more questions until I am charged with an offence and I am legally represented.
Okay. Lock him up.
On your feet, Mr. Lassam.
You can't detain me. I'm an American citizen. I demand to be put in touch with my embassy.
I can hold you for 48 hours without charging you pending further inquiries, Mr. Lassam. If you refuse to answer my questions, you leave me with no choice. You take him away, Sergeant.
Come on, sir. You haven't heard the last of this. I shall write to President Reagan.
You do that, Mr. Lassam.
This is damned outrageous. I've never seen anything like it in my life.
If anyone wants me, I'll be at the Connaught in Prim Street.
Very good, sir.
Full cabinet approval, but it's still an extremely sensitive area, Robert. Licenses and contracts for the Blackman reprisal system must be allocated before one word of this reaches the floor of the House. That's from the top.
I fully understand, Minister.
Mrs. Booth is back from Geneva, Minister. You asked me to tell you the moment she arrived.
Is she with you now?
Yes, sir.
Ask her to come in, would you? When do the talks resume?
Tomorrow. Morning, Mrs. Booth.
Morning, morning. Mary. Sorry to drag you back with your breath in your fist. I dare say you've been briefed on today's development.
I'm shocked, Minister. Completely shocked.
Nothing shocks me any more. If the entire nation decides to vote for Plaid Cymru and the next Prime Minister's Duffied Wiggly, I shan't so much as raise an eyebrow. Have a seat.
Thank you.
So, nothing untoward happened in Geneva today? Your notes didn't suddenly appear in Russian on the other side of the table or anything like that?
No, Minister. Mm. There were the usual sinister mutterings from behind ballot papers, but everything carried on as normal.
Mrs. Booth, might I ask if you had noticed any change in Margaret over the past few days? Had you any reason to suppose that all was not perhaps as it might be?
No, nothing at all. She was her usual bright, cheerful, intelligent self, working harder than most, achieving more than many. What possessed her to shoot off to London the way she did is a complete mystery.
Yes, well, it might not be quite so much of a mystery for very much longer. It seems she was tangled up with an American spy called John Altman Lassam.
What?
We don't actually know that, Minister. All is pure conjecture so far.
Robert, she had dinner with the fella, didn't she? Slept with him and died more or less in his arms. Isn't that the general drift?
I mean, Minister, we're not certain that the man Lassam is a spy.
Well, according to Cunningham, he's an undercover postman for Sergei Koryenkov and God knows what besides.
Carrying messages for a dissident doesn't necessarily make him a fully paid-up functioning spy, Minister.
Well, what the devil do you suppose he was doing shacking up with our Mrs. Yarm?
Minister... Mrs. Yarm did have attributes that could be considered attractive other than the knowledge of how many nuclear warheads are available to the NATO forces.
Well, you mean he picked her up because he fancied her?
It has to be a possibility.
Well, do you go along with that, Annie?
Oh, I really don't know what to say, Minister. It's a little difficult to hypothesize about matters that are themselves hypotheses.
Well, I'm not so sure. I'm not certain we haven't been duped by the PR boys in this, an all-woman team, honestly.
I resent that, Michael. There are 12 of us over there, 10 men and 2 women.
Might we return to the subject of Mrs. Yarm's successor, Minister? I was considering sending David Yarm in her place.
The husband? A bit risky, isn't it? Aren't you afraid young Yarm might be flying the same flag as his missus?
It is my fervent hope, Minister, that he is. And that both he and his deceased wife and the entire department are completely exonerated in this unfortunate incident.
There's no better way of showing our faith in Mrs. Yarm, Michael.
I take it you'd be happy to work with David Yarm.
If he's made of the same sort of stuff as his wife, sir, I'd be delighted.
It would mean a sideways step up for David. But for him it's a move in the right direction. It would be noted, and he's overdue for that.
I don't know. If we back a loser, we'd be for a high jump, the lot of us. Wouldn't it be wiser to play safe?
And thus demonstrate how shaky we feel the ground beneath our feet? Boldness at all times, Minister. A firmness of purpose is what's needed now.
Sir Robert is right.
Yes? All right, I'll go along with that. But you appreciate if it goes wrong.
Of course, Minister.
I'll make sure you regret it more than I do, Robert.
Yes, of course. I think we're pretty safe on this one, Minister. Pretty safe.
Where can he be, Harry? He's been arrested. I know he's been arrested.
Now, calm down. Take it easy, Laura. Nothing terrible is going to happen to him. Smuggling letters for dissidents isn't an indictable offense. If they have found out what he's been up to, they'll probably slap his wrists and promise not to do it again, huh?
Oh, he should never have gotten himself involved. John is just a natural casualty. He's the sort of guy who'd get hit on the head by a moonshot returning from outer space.
I'll get it.
Hello? Mr. Lassam, sweet? Hello, T.G. How are things in Cincinnati?
The big white chief.
Oh, my God. He knows.
I just know he knows. Not just in the moment, T.G. We're expecting him back any time now. So you heard about that?
Oh, he does know. Oh, I'll kill myself. That's what I'll do. I'll kill myself.
No, T.G. She wasn't a lady diplomat, just some kind of a secretary at the Ministry of Defense. Well, I know it doesn't make it any better, T.G. I just wanted to get the facts right. No, T.G., he didn't kill her. All he did was share a seat with her on an airplane, and he gave her a lift into town. No, he hasn't been arrested. He just called in for a little questioning, that's all. Sergei Koryenkov.
Oh, God.
Well, I can explain that too, T.G., oh. Oh, T.G., it's not... T.G.? T.G.? He hung up. John just got fired.
Oh, God. Well, if he will go around picking up lady diplomats, sleeping with them and murdering them, what does he expect?
She wasn't a lady diplomat. He didn't sleep with her. He didn't murder her, okay?
I sure hope for John's sake they've got him locked up.
He what?
Because if they send him back here, I'll kill him. I'll tear him apart with my bare hands, so help me.
Yes, in the papers.
Our press?
No, the Germans. Usual stuff. Mr. Saran's disappearance of British arms expert.
Can I see?
Oh, nothing there we don't already know, thank God. The trouble is, of course, our papers will be carrying it tomorrow. Banjo had better be told immediately. Can you find the minister for me, please, Mrs. Traherne?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Could we do anything about stopping them publishing the story?
Not without making them doubly suspicious. Don't worry, young man, I'll think of something. Now, David, I sent for you to offer my best wishes for your move to Geneva. You'll enjoy armaments.
Thank you, sir.
I'm only sorry that the circumstances have made this step possible. Well, I'm sure that the fact that you are taking Margaret's work forward must be some consolation for you.
Yes. It may help us quieten the press as well.
Yes, indeed. Of course. Well, David, you see how right I was to stop you meddling in matters that don't concern you. Had you gone your own way, none of this would have been possible. Put the past behind you, young man. You have a fine future ahead of you.
Thank you, Sir Robert.
Yes?
Major Cunningham is here, Sir Robert. He apologizes for the lateness of the hour, but he would very much like to see you when you've finished with Mr. Young.
Yes, we're almost through, Mrs. Traherne. Tell Major Cunningham I won't keep him for a moment. Thank you. Very well, young man. Stick close to Mrs. Booth. She's not the most imaginative of women, but she's pliable. Good luck. Work hard and consult regularly.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, Sir Robert.
Oh, ask Major Cunningham to come in as you go out, David.
Yes, of course. Would you go in, Major Cunningham? Sir Robert will see you now.
Thank you, Mr. Young.
Come along in, Major. Come along in and close the door.
I thought only policemen worked to a 48-hour clock, Sir Robert.
Not when the Continental Press reckon we've got a defector on our hands. Oh, sit down. Thank God it isn't true.
Are you going to make a press statement?
An unnamed Whitehall source will explain that Mrs. Yarn died tragically at the helm. We'll even hint at the Connaught, but keep Lassam well out of the picture.
Oh, that's good, sir, because I've just come to report that, in fact, Lassam wasn't Mrs. Yarn's overnight companion after all. He spent the night visiting Sergei Koryenkov in Cambridge. His original lie to the police about his whereabouts was a clumsy attempt to hide his role as postman for this man.
Lassam's relationship with Mrs. Yarn was purely en passant?
So it would seem. They met on their flight from Geneva, and he gave her a lift into town. He then drove out to Cambridge to see Koryenkov. We have this from Koryenkov himself, and from witnesses who saw them together at a restaurant, and from the college porter who let them out of the college at 1:45 this morning.
But I thought Lassam had been identified as the man who had dinner with Mrs. Yarm at the Connaught Hotel last night.
A paid-for alibi by the man who did have dinner with Mrs. Yarm last night, I imagine. When I visited the hotel to question him further, the waiter Rodriguez had already packed his bags and flown home to Spain, which suggests either fear of involvement or money having exchanged hands. One thing is clear. Mrs. Yarm didn't come to London to meet John Altman Lassam last night.
Then we're back in the dark again. Who did she fly home to meet him?
An affair of the heart, perhaps. Even civil servants have the right to a private life, Sir Robert. As long as her actions presented no threat to national security, then perhaps what she got up to in her own time should be no concern of mine.
If only we could be sure of that.
You've no ideas in this direction, Sir Robert. Was it ever whispered within your department that Mrs. Yarm was having an affair with someone?
My dear chap, I'm only the man in charge. I'd be the very last to hear of any such goings-on. Look, my concern at the moment is for young David Yarm. He's just taken on the armaments brief for Mrs. Booth at the Geneva talks. We could do without him having to worry about all this, just at the moment.
If I am right about this, sir, the sensible thing for the man involved to do is to come forward and whisper in my ear. Once we're sure of our ground, we could quietly forget all about it.
Yes, but Major, I don't want David's performance in Geneva upset if all we're doing is turning around in some minor domestic affair.
Mr. Yarm would not have to be told what we discover, sir. It wouldn't be difficult to account for Mrs. Yarm's presence here in London to the husband's total satisfaction.
How could we do that?
We could tell him now that his wife was engaged in intelligence work of the most secret kind. She flew home to London last night to consult with someone whose name can never be revealed, and that she died whilst carrying out work of immense national importance. Lovely, romantic, improbable stuff that would make him adore his dear dead wife forevermore. We'd have the whole thing tied up, sir.
Woodall have to reveal the man's name?
There is always the Official Secrets Act, sir. Many a dung hill has been made a grassy swathe by the timely use of that ancient smokescreen.
No, not this time, Major. By tomorrow, this will be in the British press. MPs will be attacking the PM, and the PM will be biting Barringer. He'll need every detail he can get hold of, and I'll be obliged to reveal anything you tell me. No, Major, I'm sorry. A name is the last thing we want at the moment. Whoever he is, he'd sink without trace.
Then I will have to dig until I find out who he is, won't I? Do let me know the moment you discover anything the least bit interesting.
Well, I doubt if I'll have time, Major.
Of course, sir. Thank you, Sir Robert. I'll take up no more of your time.
Thank you, Major Cunningham. Good night.
Good night, sir.
Is David Yarm still in the building, Mrs. Traherne?
Mr. Yarm is waiting to see you, Sir Robert. Shall I send him in?
Oh? Yes. Yes, please do.
Sir.
David. David, what I have to say is for your ears alone. Now, sit down, my boy, sit down.
Thank you, Sir Robert.
David, I have to warn you on this one. Major Cunningham just revealed to me a part of Margaret's life that I was totally unaware of. Any moment now, top brass will slam the shutters down and you will remain in the dark forever. What I'm telling you now is the truth, and you can safely ignore anything else you hear later, gossip or otherwise.
I have an awful feeling that I know what you're going to tell me, Sir Robert.
I doubt very much that you do, David. The information was a complete surprise to me, and I'm sure it will be to you. It seems that Margaret was engaged in intelligence work of the most secret kind. She flew to London last night to consult with someone whose name can never be revealed, not even to me. Margaret died whilst carrying out work of immense national importance. All of this was a complete shock to me, as you can well imagine. You must never mention this to a living soul, David. And do I have your word on that?
I know who it was Margaret came to London to meet last night, Sir Robert.
You do?
I've just spent the most agonizing 10 minutes of my life waiting for Major Cunningham to leave, convinced that I had discovered something utterly damning about Margaret. I simply didn't know how I was going to tell you, but now you've explained the whole thing to me, thank God.
I have.
I've just been going through Margaret's papers in readiness for my departure to Geneva tomorrow, when I came across this entry in her desk diary. Monday the 15th, which was yesterday. J-A-L / G / L / 5. You've no idea how relieved I am that everything is all right, Sir Robert.
I'm sorry if I'm a bit blurred at the edges just at the moment, old chap, but the hour is late and I've had a long, hard day. What precisely does the entry mean, David?
J-A-L. John Altwyn Lassam. / G / L, Geneva to London, 5 p.m. John Altwyn Lassam, Geneva to London, 5 p.m. on the 15th. Margaret had an appointment with Lassam on the 5 o'clock flight from Geneva last night.
Yes. Right. Right, David. This is, as you know, awfully dangerous stuff. Now, I suggest you destroy that diary immediately.
But Major Cunningham...
Destroy it, David. Now.
The midnight oil, Inspector Crabbe. What progress have you made?
Well, a few pieces of the jigsaw are still missing, Major. The picture's emerging.
Mm-hmm. You still holding Mr. Lassam?
Yes. Do you want a word with him?
No, I don't think so. I'm afraid we're holding the wrong man, Inspector. I think we can safely let Mr. Lassam go.
You want me to release him?
Lassam didn't spend the night with Mrs. Yarn. I've been checking up with a reliable informant. I imagine the waiter Rodriguez was bribed to wrongly identify Lassam as Mrs. Yarm's dinner companion. He subsequently left the country with his pocket stuffed with money. Release Mr. Lassam, Inspector. The man is in the clear.
Rodriguez was bribed, all right, sir, but not to wrongly identify Lassam. He was paid to get out of the country so that we couldn't question him further about the man who bribed him. No, sir. Rodriguez told the truth about who had dinner with Mrs. Yarm last night. It was Lassam.
Are you sure of this?
Yes, I am. I could even tell you who ordered what, if you like. Lassam's talked himself out.
Then why did he deny it at the outset?
To avoid being involved in what he then thought to be the murder of Margaret Yarm. But he knows who did spend the night with Mrs. Yarm, of that I'm quite certain.
How could he possibly know that, Inspector?
The man Hennessy joined them for drinks in the bar after dinner. He stayed chatting with Lassam and Mrs. Yarm until Lassam left to drive out to Cambridge. Do you still want me to release him, sir?
Have we got a description of the man Hennessy?
Now that's where things go a little wrong, I'm afraid, sir. Only Rodriguez was willing to admit to having seen him. Our man was as discreet as if this had been a lover's assignation, which it might well have been. Had that thought occurred to you, Major?
It has, Inspector. But if Lassam knows who spent the night with Mrs. Yarm, he also knows who it was who put the finger on him. Why should he cover up for him? Why doesn't he just tell us what happened?
Well, I did say that one or two bits of the picture were still missing, Major. There is a level beyond which a man cannot be led.
How heavy have you leaned on Lassam? We could break him, surely.
I doubt it, sir. There's no way he's going to tell us what happened. There's a wall.
Release him.
You sure? Release him.
The man is not going to lead us anywhere locked up in a police station cell. Let him go, Inspector. Put a tail on him and for heaven's sake, don't lose him.
My God. Fired. Harry, I just don't believe it. I'm finished. What the hell is T.G. playing at?
Well, I guess he didn't like having the company's name mixed up in some political scandals, so he fired you.
Well, great. This really is the icing on one hell of a cake. Now what am I supposed to do?
It serves you right for picking up women on airplanes. If you'd kept your eyes straight ahead and your hands in your pockets, none of this would have happened.
Harry, can I borrow your car?
Sure. Where are you going?
Cambridge. I have to talk to Koryenkov.
Stay away from Koryenkov. Russians are bad news. Will you never learn anything?
Harry, take Laura to a show or out to dinner or something. Will you do that for me?
Sure, John, if that's what you want.
If you're going to Cambridge to see Koryenkov, then I'm coming with you.
And I thought Russians were supposed to be bad news. Okay, get your coat. We're leaving.
John, you must know.
I tell you, I have no idea who he was. He was just a guy called Hennessy. Wore glasses, I think. Mrs. Yarm introduced me to him at the hotel, and we had a couple of drinks together, that's all.
You mean you were at the Connaught Hotel with his broad? Oh. You lying dog, John Lassam. You told me you were nowhere near the place.
Would you have told the truth if the police were trying to prove that you spent the night with some guy who died? She invited me to have dinner with her before I came out here to see Sergei. What's the harm in that, for God's sake? How was I to know she was going to die?
You bastard, you!
Please, John, Laura. What is important now?
You've got to get John's job back.
I'm 47. Who's going to employ a 47-year-old dupe?
Your old job.
Oh, sure. To do that, I've got to convince T.G. that I was not involved with this British lady civil servant. How am I going to do that?
We have to uncover Hennessy's true identity and report the matter to Major Cunningham.
Great. We'll organize an identity parade of 500,000 guys with glasses and ask them where they were on the night of the 15th. It shouldn't take more than 10 or 12 years.
Will you leave it to me? I think I know how to find out who he is.
You do? How, for God's sake? Do you know this guy?
Never mind. Go back to London and wait for a call from me. I'll telephone you the moment I have any news.
How sure are you that you can do this?
Never mind that. It is the least I can do for you, as you have been so misled. Go back to your hotel and wait there until you hear from me. Will you do that?
Sure. What have I got to lose? Sink or swim, I've got to get out of this mess somehow.
All will be well. Worry soon. Leave everything to me.
Do your best, old buddy. We both have a great deal at stake here.
Okay, Laura.
Don't forget to wave to Inspector Crabb's undercover man to let him know we're leaving. We don't want to lose the poor guy on the way back, do we?
Sir Robert Klein is here, Minister. You asked to see him.
Thank you, Janet. Send him in.
Good morning, Minister. A smooth ride in the papers after all. Death at the helm. I rather like that one.
Do you think the Blackman reprisal system, Robert, have we issued contracts and licenses yet?
No, not yet, Minister. We're still waiting for cabinet approval.
How many people are aware that we're recommending homegrown on this one?
You and I have discussed the matter several times. I have no way of knowing what other opinions you have enlisted.
None.
In that case, only you and I know of it.
Not strictly true, Robert. Annie Booth has heard mention of it in Geneva.
That can't be possible, Minister.
It's more than possible, Robert. It's an established fact. Booth telephoned only minutes ago. Would you like to hear where it was being discussed?
I would indeed, Minister.
In the conference chamber, dammit. Chifrin demanded that we confirm or deny our decision to manufacture a Blackman reprisal system here in Great Britain. Booth could neither confirm nor deny it, not having been briefed in the matter. So, the Russians walked out, furious that we hadn't included it in the negotiation. Damn it, man, we've only just got them back.
But they couldn't have known.
You're damn right they couldn't have known unless there's been a confounded leak. Klein, you and I are the only two people alive who knew anything about it. I haven't told anyone. Which leaves you, Klein. You! Well, man, who have you discussed the matter with other than myself?
No one, Minister.
Oh, I see. My office is bugged, is that it? Or Janet's a KGB agent listening on the confounded intercom. Is that your explanation?
Both suggestions have to be a possibility.
Poppycock, what about your protege, Mrs. Yarn? Confide in her, did we? There wasn't much that damn woman didn't know about.
It is most unfair of you to blame Mrs. Yarm now that she's unable to defend herself. Someone might have gained access to your papers. Who typed the documents you now hold? Who dictated the memo for typing? There are all manner of ways this information could have been leaked. And you know it.
The Prime Minister will have to be told, won't she, Robert? And if you don't come up with a satisfactory explanation in double-quick time, it'll mean the end of your career at the Ministry of Defence. Mine too, most probably.
I shall give the matter my immediate and undivided attention.
But jolly well see to it that you do. Yes?
The Prime Minister's office is on the telephone, Minister.
The balloon ascendeth. You'd better stay, Robert. Good morning, Prime Minister. Yes, indeed, I have just heard about it. Shocked. Deeply shocked. Sir Robert Klein, my permanent undersecretary, and I were just discussing the matter this very minute. Indeed, yes, Prime Minister. The utmost urgency.
You wanted to see Mr. Robert?
Yes, David. Come along in and close the door. David, I have just experienced an extremely uncomfortable interview with the Minister. He accused me of indiscretion and of causing highly confidential information to surface on the wrong side of the table at Geneva.
Good Lord.
He wanted to know whether I had ever discussed the Blackman reprisal system with Margaret, and I was able to tell him, truthfully, that I had not.
Surely he couldn't possibly think that Margaret...
I did discuss the project with you on several occasions, David. And we also discussed the reasons for keeping Blackman out of the Geneva talks.
Yes, Sir Robert, that is so.
Did you at any time talk it over with Margaret, David? Well, did you?
I discussed most things with Margaret, sir.
But this subject in particular, David, did you talk to Margaret about the Blackman reprisal system?
Yes, Sir Robert, I did. Had you asked me not to, of course, I would not have done, but...
Oh, God. That's all that Barringer needs. Now, what sort of a defense is he going to make out of that?
The idea that Margaret leaked the information is... Well, it's as preposterous as suggesting that it was you or I. Surely no one will take any notice of him.
We will all be equally investigated, David. That you need have no doubt. What Major Cunningham and Barringer will make of the fact that Margaret's meeting with Lassen was not the casual thing that they believed it to be remains to be seen.
Assuming that they find out, of course.
Are you suggesting that we keep this information from them, David?
I cannot see what useful purpose it will serve, Sir Robert. Margaret is dead, and whilst scapegoats are always at a premium in this kind of thing, a dead scapegoat is almost a gift from heaven. Lord knows what the poor girl would end up being blamed with. There are things that are better left concealed, Sir Robert. Each of us has something to hide, one way or another.
I honestly think that Margaret needs our protection, David, do you? The innocent need never fear the truth.
But Margaret wasn't really all that innocent, was she?
I'm sorry, David. I'm not sure that I understand what you mean.
Your affair with Margaret is bound to come out, Sir Robert. And unless we help one another, then I'm afraid you're going to end up in a frightful mess.
What are you talking about?
I've known about it for many years, Sir Robert. I was even aware that you and Margaret were lovers before I married her.
Good Lord. And all this distress and vying to search the ends of the earth to find out who the man was just so much hot air.
Everyone has a part to play, Sir Robert. I was simply responding to your performance.
Why have you never said anything about this?
One has one's career to think about, and one's wife's career, and even your career, which is more important. What would I have achieved if I'd played the jealous husband? I would have undoubtedly lost Margaret, and would have got us all the sack, most probably. And where's the sense in that?
To think that I've gone through all this today simply to protect you from what I thought to be the awful truth. God, if I'd known, I would have handled things rather differently, I can tell you.
There is a great deal more to it than that, Sir Robert.
Perhaps. Was Margaret aware of the fact that you knew of our relationship?
I think not. I always did my best to keep it from her.
Do you despise me for what I did last night in leaving Margaret?
I think I understand.
You must realize one thing, David. When all this happened, as far as we were concerned, Margaret was simply unwell. She was frantic to protect me and begged me to go. She insisted that I use an American accent when telephoning for the doctor in order to protect me further. I felt a fool, but I did. Had I for one moment realized that she was dying, I never would have left her. You must believe me, David.
I'm glad that you did. If you'd been caught, then all of us would have sunk without trace, I'm afraid.
Yes, indeed. Perhaps you're right.
Which is why I say nothing is to be achieved by allowing even the smallest shadow of doubt to fall over Margaret's integrity. We mustn't let a private and personal thing like this wreck all our lives.
That's quite so. I do believe you're right.
Did you tell the minister that you had discussed the Blackman reprisal system with me?
No, I simply denied having discussed it with Margaret.
Good. So, all I have to do is to deny all knowledge of it to demonstrate that I couldn't possibly have told Margaret.
Yes, that is so.
And now that you are committed to being elsewhere other than the Connaught Hotel last night, the only thing to do is to press right on with it. I'd be happy to provide you with an alibi if you think that might help.
It would. Are you sure you want to do this for me, David, after all that has happened?
You've always been kindness itself to me, Sir Robert. I am where I am now only thanks to you. It seems the very least I can do. And what possible harm are we doing? Who else is involved other than you and I and Margaret?
I'm grateful. Where were we last night?
At White's in the Strand. I was there, and I'll swear you were with me. That should do the trick.
No, I don't know what to say. This has been an extraordinary 24 hours.
We must stick together, Sir Robert.
Yes?
Major Cunningham is here, Sir Robert. He's anxious to have a word with you.
Oh, yes, splendid. Send the Major in, Mrs. Trevelyan. We'll talk later, David. See me before you leave for Geneva.
Yes, sir. I'll be in the building.
Good morning, Major Cunningham.
Good morning, Mr. Yarn.
Excuse me.
Come along in, Major.
Thank you.
Have you matters to report?
Yes, sir. There are stirrings at the moorings I think you should be made aware of, Sir Robert.
Far away. Sit down.
Thank you.
You have my undivided attention.
We now have the complete picture of what happened last night. I received a telephone call an hour ago from Sergei Koryenkov. It seems he is very anxious to clear his friend Lassan and implicate the man Hennessy.
Hennessy? Wasn't that the name Mrs. Yarm used in the hotel register?
It was. Mr. Hennessy arrived at 9 p.m. and signed himself in as the lady's husband. All three of them sat drinking in the bar until Lassan left to drive out to Cambridge.
Which does exonerate Mr. Lassam, I imagine.
Providing we can discover who is Hennessy.
Is it all that important that we should know, Major? Affairs of the heart should be allowed some discretion, surely?
You have nothing you want to tell me, Sir Robert, even with my promise of total confidence?
I'm afraid not, old chap. I've heard nothing worth reporting. Mrs. Yarm seems to have very successfully drawn a veil over her activities last night.
Were you with friends last night, Sir Robert?
Oh, yes. I dined at White's in the Strand with David Yarm. We played a little backgammon and left at about midnight.
Mr. Yarm will confirm this, of course.
Of course, Major. But let's ask him, shall we? Is David Yarm still there, Mrs. Treherne? Would you ask him to step in for a moment, please?
Certainly, Sir Robert.
Major Cunningham, this young man is leaving for Geneva later this morning. I did as you suggested and told him that his wife died whilst carrying out work of immense national importance. He must be allowed to leave happily. Is that understood?
I should be careful what I say, sir.
You sent for me, Sir Robert?
Splendid, we caught you. I thought perhaps you might have left already. I want you to tell Major Cunningham where you dined last night and with whom you played cards until midnight, David.
But why can't I be there with you?
Because it's a business meeting, that's why. Will you explain it to us, Sergei?
Matters of importance and great confidence have to be discussed, Mrs. Lassam. Those involved would resent anyone not directly connected being present. The meeting will be brief. John will return quite soon. It's 12:15. He will be waiting. We must go.
Wait here, Laura. I'll be right back. And don't go away now.
I have checked at White's in the Strand, Sir Robert. No one admits to having seen you there last night.
That doesn't mean to say that I wasn't there, Major Cunningham. It's entirely possible that people you have spoken to simply didn't see me. Now, if you would excuse me.
Someone within your department has been leaking information, Sir Robert. What you're doing is making it impossible for me to discover who that person might be. You can't possibly allow yourself to be a party to that, no matter how deeply you are involved.
Indeed not, but then I am not involved. Are you quite certain of your facts, Major Cunningham?
I am, sir. But in order to name names and put an end to this business, it is vital that I know where you were last night and who you were with. This is extremely serious, Sir Robert. If you refuse to tell me, then I will have no choice other than to report where I'm told you spent last night.
No one will believe you.
Perhaps not. But then others will investigate further. Many others, sir. For many years. Your only hope of retaining anonymity is to tell me what occurred. I will do everything I can to keep your name out of it.
You wouldn't cover up for someone I could prove was a spy, would you, Sir Robert?
No, of course not.
Good morning, gentlemen. You are on time.
Good morning, Mr. Yarn. This is Mr. Lassam, my postman of the last 3 years.
How do you do, Mr. Lassam? That was quite a tangle you got yourself into last night. Whose idea was it that you should stay to meet Mr. Hennessy at the Connaught? Yours or my wife's?
You mean you know all about this?
Oh, yes. It is because of Mr. Yarm that I knew who Hennessy was, John. Mr. Yarm has been my control since I arrived in England.
Oh.
Whosever idea it was almost a very serious error, a mistake from which it has been extremely difficult to recover.
Well, it was your wife's idea, not mine. I was all for getting out of there before the old boy arrived, but she insisted that I stay. Sergei had arranged the usual meeting for me to pick up his letter, so I met this lady, sorry, sir, your wife, on the flight from Geneva like always, but she just hung on to me, sort of conspicuously, as if she was trying to draw attention to us. You know, I think your wife was set to blow the whistle on me last night. She was very strange, Mr. Yarm. She was acting like she knew something was going to happen to her.
A dying throw. But not just aimed at you, Mr. Lassam. She wanted to put the finger on you so that you'd lead Cunningham to Korienkov and myself.
Mm-hmm.
She tried to shock the lot of us, but she didn't quite manage it. Margaret didn't realize that you knew nothing, Mr. Lassam. You see, yours has been a very useful ignorance.
Sergei, what? Sorry to have deceived you for all these years, John, but you were my passport to staying here.
My pleasure.
I think there should be some payment made to John for all this trouble.
Yes, of course. Now, Mr. Lassam, you have a plane to catch. Don't let me detain you.
Sure. Thanks, Mr. Yarm, for getting me off the hook. Goodbye. Sergei?
Bye, John. I have to stay a minute.
Goodbye.
Not the best move you've ever made, Korienkov, bringing Lassam here. He knows far too much. Something will have to be done about Mr. Lassam.
I thought the best way to secure that situation was to recruit him. I gave you every opportunity.
I decide who is to be recruited, Korienkov. I have no further use for Mr. Lassam.
As you wish. What will you do now that we have lost Margaret as a contact? How soon will you be able to replace her?
I already have replaced her. With her lover. I was able to keep Margaret in line by threatening to reveal her relationship with our mutual boss, Sir Robert Klein. Now I've got a firmer grip on Klein than I ever had on Margaret. I have you to thank for that, Korienkov. You told Major Cunningham that Klein was alias Hennessy, and he fell right into my hands. A fortuitous accident.
Mr. Yarm, I feel you have not entirely forgiven me. All I did was to try to prove John's non-involvement so that he could get his job back. A very necessary move if he is to continue carrying letters for us. How soon do we get back to work, Mr. Yarm?
You don't, I'm afraid. I can't use either of you anymore. I'm sorry for Mr. Lassam. His witting career is going to be a brief one. The lamps are very firmly on you both, and every move you make from now on will be watched and monitored every inch of the way. I'm sorry, Korienko, but this is where we part company. If you'll take my advice, you'll get out of the country immediately. The Geneva run is on ice.
But
our man at the talks will be arrested this afternoon, and a list of agents will be found on her. Your two names feature prominently amongst the top 10.
Oh. You're throwing Mrs. Booth to the wolves as well?
That's right. My instructions from on high are a clean sweep and a fresh start. And that is precisely what I'm about.
But
I'm sorry.
If you let them arrest me,
I'll pull you down with me.
I don't think so. I'm sure Sir Robert will keep my name out of it. He's not an ungrateful man. That's it. I'm off. Sorry I have to leave you. Thank you for your past services. Perhaps we'll meet again sometime. Jolly good luck. Cheerio.
Coming along with me, sir. Inspector Crabb and Major Cunningham of Special Branch have one or two questions they'd like to ask you.
But I'm leaving for Geneva.
I'm sorry, sir. A later plane, perhaps.
In The Geneva Run by Michael Davis, Sir Robert Klein was played by George Baker, and David Yarm, Ian Sano. John Altwyn Lassom, William Roberts. Bowinger and Korienkoff, Nigel Graham. Laura, Guinevere John. Annie Booth, Monica Gray. Major Cunningham, Ray Handy. Inspector Crabb, Ivor Roberts. Sergeant Lewis, Roger Knott. And Harry Stein, Mark Ralston. Other parts were played by Erica Arian and James Benson. The Geneva Run was directed in Wales by Adrian Morby.
The weather forecast on the news. At 10:15, Margaret Howard presents the second part of her pick of the year. At 11, it's Light in Our Darkness, and at 11:15, Animal Language. An animal communicates with another when it transmits information that influences the listener's behavior. But who benefits, sender or receiver? David Attenborough introduces the first of a 13-part series, Animal Language, at 11:15 tonight. Then ring out the old, ring in the new, a meditation by Lord Soper. That's at 12:45. Well, now, here's the weather forecast for the United Kingdom for tomorrow. Scotland and Northern Ireland will have sunny intervals and showers, some heavy and squally in the north and west. England and Wales will be rather cloudy with rain over the northwestern parts, spreading to the southeast slowly during the day, reaching southeast England by dusk. During the morning, it will become brighter with showers in northern England, and these conditions will extend to North Wales and the North Midlands in the afternoon. Temperatures will be a little below normal in the north, but it'll continue mild in the south. Severe gales and storm-force winds will continue over northern parts, and winds will reach gale force in exposed places in the south during tonight and tomorrow. And the outlook for Monday and Tuesday: rain spreading east on Monday will be followed by showers and sunny intervals on Tuesday. And that's the end of the weather forecast. This is Radio 4.